I like to think that whole team just took, they all took gummies on the plane and just all had very different experiences.
Yeah, I love it.
Because you could totally have a bad trip where it's like everyone doubts me, nobody likes me. Oh no, do people think, oh no, oh no. Or you could be like Dion, where I mean, I don't know what his panic attack was about, but he passed out. Maybe he was like, I just need a nap right now.
What if
It's gonna be 2 a.m. in 1 hour. I can't do it.
I'm imagining his panic attack was just him having a dream of being wide open on the 3-point arc and no one passing in the ball for like 4 hours.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to yet another episode of Full Court Mess, the hot take basketball podcast where we discuss basketball and hot takes together as one. I'm Jared, your local lemon pepper lover.
Ooh. I'm Joe, your local man who is jealous of other men with lemon pepper wings.
I'm Will, and I could just retweet Joe on that one, but I'll say I'm using Kobe White's hot shooting to protect me from this cold weather Ooh. That we have down here.
Very nice.
Ooh. So let's do something we don't usually do and actually talk about social media posts.
Oh, that's a fresh
stepping
way to take
out
it.
Of our comfort zone.
Stepping
here.
Out of our theme and back into it. Kevin Love posted on Instagram a picture of Pat Bateman from American Psycho covered in blood, said mood after last night's game.
Oh.
Did something happen?
What does this mean? This seems unchill. I don't know what happened. Did they lose?
Kevin Love has become so basic.
The most basic, yes.
He realized that he really can get by on just his looks and is just leaning into it.
Oh, last night they lost by 1 point to the Sixers.
Does he mean it was just like a battle?
Does this,
like, is that what he's trying to say?
Well, I mean, I'm worried that this made him homicidal.
He's going to murder someone.
Yeah.
And he has seen the Sixers fight, and he knows that Embiid is probably the best target.
This man watched American Psycho, said big mood.
who hasn't?
So do we cancel this man?
He might he's on probation for me.
Mm-hmm. He's in timeout.
Like he's dangerously careening towards timeout, but not quite there yet.
Okay.
Being basic doesn't mean you're in timeout, but
I think this is a little,
it's a slippery slope.
This is a little more than basic. But I don't know. It seems I'm concerned, and I'll have to call the police about this one.
Who is the NBA police? Is it Kendrick Perkins?
No.
Okay, good.
I think over the past year, if we've learned anything, it's that the NBA police is the Houston Rockets.
Yes. No. Houston Rockets are like the White House.
The Houston Rockets filed a report saying that based off of the fouls that were called, we should have won the title last year, and that just sounds like the most police thing ever to me.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Or it's Chris Paul.
Chris Paul's the police?
Yes.
Whoa, no. You know who's the police? Is a big snitch, D'Angelo Russell.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, that's probably bad.
Interesting. Right.
Or, no, he's not the police.
No. No, D'Lo's just the whistleblower.
We've learned that Dion Waiters is extremely not the police.
Yo, okay. Let's talk about Dion, who has quickly become the most relatable basketball player of all time.
You want to break it down for us, Jared?
Let's do this. Let's search some tweets. also. Well, the big updates came from Andy Slater from The Andy Slater Show on iHeartRadio, apparently. Anyways.
Great plug.
Great. Hey, you got to, you know, credit these sources.
Yeah.
The,
we got a real journalist over here.
The initial tweet was Slater Scoop in all caps. Nice. Okay, nice.
Another great part.
A Miami Heat player had a medical emergency on their flight from Phoenix to Los Angeles on Thursday night, according to sources. A Heat spokesman told me the team cannot comment due to medical confidentiality laws. Next tweet. Update. Dion Waiters is the Heat player who had a medical emergency on team plane, I've confirmed. Waiters overdosed on gummies, sources say, and was passed out when the plane landed. He had a seizure when he was finally woken, I'm told. Waiters is listed out tonight due to illness. We go over to the next development in the news, where Brian Windhorst simply tweets, Dion Waiters had a panic attack on Heat team plane after taking an edible, sources tell Woj and me. So, long story short, the weed.
Well, then I forget who tweeted it, but someone, a like serious NBA reporter, like tweets out that Dion Waiters would not tell the team who gave him the edible.
Right. Yeah. Very high school.
Yeah.
Very high school food trip.
And Waiters just won it say. So that's how we know he's not police.
He's not the police.
I do love that the Heat were like, we can't comment on this due to medical confidentiality. And then when they learned what had happened, they're like, oh no, fuck this. We'll say whatever we want.
That's not a problem. It's funny because it's like the whole like edible thing is out there, but the Heat are like, yeah, he ate a gummy.
Yeah,
he's been suspended for it, but we're not going to officially say THC because we don't want the league suspending him too.
Yeah, no one will say marijuana, but they're like, but we're very disappointed in him. it's not... like your parent. It really is. Your parents getting mad at you and punishing you, but they won't call the cops because they don't want you getting in that kind of trouble.
Yeah. Parents who host lose the most.
Uh-oh.
Well said.
All right. So the Heat are not making playoffs.
Here, Dion, we'd rather you do this on the plane than somewhere else. We want you to be safe around us. I saw on the... A lot of after that tweet where the guy said Dion wouldn't say who gave it to him, about hundreds, I want to say, of replies all said James Johnson.
Okay. Possibly.
I love that there's like half of the Heat are these people where it's the Jimmy Butler Heat, the Kelly Olynyk Heat, where they're like, we're showing up and working at 3 a.m. every day. We don't even sleep because we care so much about working here. And then the other half of the Heat are James Johnson, who showed up too fat to play, and Dion Waiters and whoever gave him the edibles, overdosing on edibles on the team plane.
I must have been
start doing more 2 a.m. workouts, man. So that'll whip this team back into shape.
They're all doing edibles on the team plane because they're so goddamn tired when they finish the game. They've been up all night.
Yep.
That's a pretty long flight, Phoenix to Miami.
Ooh,
like how?
Yeah, long? I mean, no one's gonna fault Dion for taking these.
No,
it's very
absolutely not. You know,
I
you do what you gotta do.
While we're on the Heat, before we got started here, we're talking about one member of the Heat, one Jimmy Butler, has been maybe he's been partaking in some drugs of his own. Uh-oh. Because he has clearly been hearing voices. After they went on their, they've been playing very well to start the season, going a little winning streak, and Jimmy's been talking his shit, as is your God-given right,
mm-hmm.
Especially when you're winning. But one of his pieces of shit talk didn't make much sense, where he out of just nowhere is talking to Yahoo Sports about coming to Miami and says, motherfuckers act like I'm not a good basketball player. Like, for real. Just think about that. Like, I can't come in and make a huge difference. And until I heard this story about Dion, I couldn't figure out where Jimmy was hearing this from, because no one alive has said that about him in the past 8 years. But now it's very clear that on a long plane ride back, he took some acid, had a bad trip, and the version of a bad trip is someone saying that Jimmy Butler is not that good at basketball.
I like to think that that whole team just took, they all took gummies on the plane and just all had very different experiences.
Yeah, I love it.
Because you could totally have a bad trip where it's like, everyone doubts me, nobody likes me. Oh no, do people think, oh no, oh no. Or you could be like Dion, where, I mean, I don't know what his panic attack was about, but he passed out. Maybe he was like, I just need a nap right now.
What if it's going to be 2 a.m. in 1 hour. I can't do it.
I'm imagining his panic attack was just him having a dream of being wide open on the three-point arc and no one passing in the ball for like 4 hours.
So that suspension loses him like over $1 million. Because
that 70 games, he has to play in a year.
Bonus, and he misses that again.
3 out of 3 years. Hey, consistency is key.
Fourth time.
The best ability is repeatability.
Yep. You think he's going to take gummies again? You think he's out?
I think he already has.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
How else is he going to cope with losing out on $1.2 million?
I'm having a panic attack. I better take more.
These aren't working. I'm freaking out.
Whomst among us? Who can relate?
Truly. He remains the most relatable player in the NBA.
Honestly, though, I was like, you know, I can't make fun of you too much for this. I don't want to say that I've been there, but I've been there.
I just don't want to say it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're listening to this and you know me and you look down on that, it's a lie, possibly. So
we'll do anything for content on this pod.
Speaking of anything for content, DeAndre Jordan tweeted out an hour ago, not even an hour ago, that just says, release the Zack Snyder cut, damn it. I hate to do this. DeAndre Jordan has been disqualified from future Suns teams for this.
Yep. 100%.
I mean, not that he was up for consideration, but...
But he's especially not up for consideration.
It's the nail in the coffin.
Jordan, DeAndre, we don't need this. We don't need this.
I'm Googling Zack Snyder cut.
I mean, he's definitely talking about...
The Justice League.
Was that it? The one they like made someone else come in and do because his movie was so bad?
Yeah, Batman versus Superman.
No, it was.
No, I think he made that one.
He made that one. He was making Justice League, and then I think someone in his family died, and then he left.
So he didn't do the whole thing. Before Joss Whedon's contributions.
Look,
that was the cut.
It wasn't going to be that great, either way.
No.
This was like 2017. This is like two or 3 years ago. He's still thinking about it.
Look, it's on his mind. It's not like he has anything else to worry about. He's definitely not going to be playing competitive basketball or anything. So,
this message is for the Brooklyn Nets. Please, please start Jared Allen. Please.
Please, mm-hmm. God, cut DeAndre Jordan.
Just give him the Zack Snyder cut and send him packing, okay?
He's not good anymore.
Jared Allen is so good.
This is true.
They also
my son Jared.
This is, I tell you, this is what you get when you want to have superstars, but this is what happens when you do them. They're just signing Iman Shumpert now, just because he's Kyrie's friend.
Is that a joke?
No, this is real. No, this is real. This is real.
Content enhancing jokes.
No, this is news as of today.
They're signing Shump today.
Didn't the Nets CEO just resign or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Their like brand new CEO was like 10 games in. Saw what was going on and was like, I'm out of here, man. Mutually parting ways. Get me out of here. I had the Nets at a 7 seed, and I think it's too high. But the East is so bad, I don't know who else replaces them.
Man, the East stinks this year.
There's maybe the other hand, like four. It should just have four playoff teams. Maybe five.
Like how we say the East stinks this year. Like, this is something new. This has been the last, like, 6 years. This is not a change.
I'm more grossed out by them this year than I have been in the past couple of years. We're, like, 2 or 3 years removed from me being like, yo, the East might be sneaky good. And then it's like the East is no longer having a moment.
Okay.
But they are garbage. Like, the teams at the top have been a little disappointing to start the year. Like, people are not happy with how Philly's playing. The only positive surprise is the Celtics. And everyone else is underachieving.
I think the Raptors are at least doing as well or better than people thought.
Yeah, that's fair. Although, I think if you like were following the Raptors, you probably should have expected where they're at.
I don't think anyone's going to be pleased with how the Sixers play.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but I think there's a general level of consensus, at least in my little bubble of Twitter, people I follow on Twitter, that they're underachieving to an extent.
If the playoffs started today, both the Cavs and the Hornets would be the bottom two seeds in playoffs. They'd make it in.
They've been remarkably – they haven't been, like, competent, but they've been a lot more competent than I thought they'd be, especially the Cavs.
Yeah.
And for the Hornets, it's Devontae Graham that's playing lights out, not really Rozier very much.
No,
Devontae
I actually –
Graham's dropping, like, 35 in a game.
I just saw something today that, like, among qualified players of a level, like, Terry Rozier had been, like, the fourth worst player in the NBA so far this season, so definitely not him.
I mean, that's about right, right?
He does no have one like 25 that. Right now in the middle of the third quarter.
Terry
does. Shooting 10 for 15.
That's good.
Oh,
true.
Oh,
see?
We got it.
Playing well. They can trade him to the Celtics for Kimball Walker.
Oh boy.
Now that's interesting.
It's an idea. Okay. Okay.
Unfortunately, the Celtics have been really good.
They have. Well, they've lost one game?
Yeah.
Out of 9? Or 10?
It's going to be 2 after they lose to the Wizards today, though.
Oof. All right. Well, that disqualifies you.
Are the
Wizards the team that if you lose to them, you cannot win the finals? Is that the team this year?
I think so.
I don't think the Suns are the team anymore.
No, the Suns are good. It's actually, we should talk about that. The Suns are kind of awesome.
Ew.
No, I think
they're not bad. They're pretty good.
It's between three teams. Okay. It's between the Wizards, which I think they're the third best candidate. And then the two best candidates, I think, are the New York Knicks and the current iteration of the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
If you lose either of those two teams, you should be disqualified from the playoffs.
Let's talk about the Knicks first.
Right,
actually,
they,
let's just talk about Stephen A. Smith. Very good outburst. I'd rate it about an 8 out of 10 for this one. Very entertaining.
I didn't even see this one. What did he outburst about?
Well, the Knicks.
How much the Knicks stink?
They lost that game to the Cavs.
Yeah,
big time.
21.
And so they had like a press conference afterwards to be like, "We thought we'd be better by now. We're trying to work things out." And then it leaked that they're like thinking of firing the head coach already.
Yeah, like even in the press conference, they just like blamed Fizdale. Like he took the blame, but then the management came on and were just like, "We have enough talent to win." So, it's like, no,
all
you
right,
don't.
So first of all, no, you don't. You do not. No, you don't.
That's a lie.
That's so yeah. The Stephen A. Smith outburst is he's just like, "You put this team together, and you expected more." Pretty much that.
I mean, nice. Spot on.
He Jared. Wants management drug tested.
Did you just play? Did you just play a clip from Stephen A. or was that you doing it? Because I can
did.
Tell the difference.
I played that clip straight out of my mouth.
Wow.
The line I remember from Stephen A. was that like, sanitation workers wouldn't even come into that to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Because they stink so much.
Classic.
Something like that.
That's good. That is good.
It's good. We'll retweet. There's like a solid... I think we did retweet already. There's like a solid 2 minutes of it.
Is there a promo for 1-800-Flowers within the outburst at all?
No.
Because that's my favorite part, is when all of a sudden he has to, like, calm down for a minute to, like, relatively calmly talk about 1-800-Flowers or hymns or whatever it is. Disney Plus.
At least on the cut that's on Twitter, it doesn't have that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's hard to blame him because that team is horrendous. They've somehow, like, taken the only fun thing about them, which is Mitchell Robinson, and even that is, like, not fun this year. I don't even know what's going on. Is he hurt? Is he even playing? Because I haven't seen a thing about him.
Yes. That's my answer.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still rooting for my Rookie of the Year, 2020 Rookie of the Year, Dennis Smith Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping for the best for him. Maybe he'll be in the dunk contest for the third time and he'll jump really high and not win, probably.
I've just seen that Mitchell Robinson has a concussion. And for some reason, RJ Barrett is shooting like 50% from the free throw line.
I think that Knicks management also has concussion, but...
That would make sense.
The story from Woj that says Fizdale's exit from Knicks is inevitable.
How recent is that?
An hour ago.
Wow. It's wild because one, I don't know if there's really any evidence that David Fizdale is a very good coach. I also don't know if there's any evidence he's not one.
I think it's like a case with Fizdale is that we all want him to be a good coach.
Yeah, people like him.
It's like, I want to root for you. I like you, but...
I remember... So heated debates around when, like, the Grizzlies got rid of him, where it's like, can't believe they got rid of him. And it's like, he inherited a team and the team stayed exactly the same when he got him. Like, so neither good nor terrible results there.
Yeah.
But
Luke Walton thing. Oh, Luke Walton's a great coach because he had maybe the best team ever.
With, like, the groundwork, coaching groundwork laid out for him as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it doesn't have to be a bad thing because, I don't know, like, Doc Rivers took the Vinny Del Negro Clippers and did the exact same thing with them that Vinny did. Like, in terms of results, he got the same amount of wins. So he could have still been excellent, but, like, I just didn't know if he was that good of a coach. But you definitely can't be judged for what you do given the roster he was given with these Knicks. Good heavens.
And they're 8 power forwards.
And so but no good power forwards even.
Right. So new coaching options for the Knicks. Who you got? I saw Tracy Morgan suggested Mark Jackson.
I thought you were saying I saw Tracy Morgan, and I was gonna be like,
I mean, Tracy Morgan is about as good of an option as Mark Jackson. So yeah.
I knew someone had brought him up because I saw someone tweeting stats today where you can, like, read the stats and just go, oh, someone must have said that Mark Jackson should be a coach again. Because the Warriors ranks
trending again.
The Warriors ranks with Mark Jackson in terms of team offense, and it was his 3 years or whatever. It was like 16th, 11th, and 11th, and then it goes Warriors ranks with Steve Kerr, and it goes 1-1-2-1-2. It's like, this guy took the greatest offense in league history and had them as the 15th best offense in the current NBA. Sign him. Lifetime deal, I say. There is no more fitting coach for the New York Knicks than Mark Jackson, I will say that.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, he should be the coach of that team, much like Randy Whitman should be the coach of the Wizards.
Right, I see it as
they deserve each other.
Mark Jackson is so fucking weird that it's just perfect for the fucking weird situation that is the New York Knicks. The management is going to be like, all right, you know, we got you all these power forwards. What are you going to do with them? He's like, I'll take them to church.
He'll ask for a couple more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll take the best one and put him on the bench behind David Lee.
Yep.
I'm still thinking about Tracy Morgan coaching the New York Knicks. I think it'd be fun. Just out there, like, slapping his belly. Talking about penises or something the whole time in the huddle.
Oh man,
yelling weird shit.
For like the last like 2 minutes, I've been imagining Tracy Wolfson.
Oh,
and I was like, wow, that'd be quite an interesting job for her. But I'll watch her give it a shot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now I've come to realize that's not who we were talking about.
So, the Warriors.
The Warriors are the other worst team in the league.
So Curry is out for.
Warriors players simply love getting injured.
Yeah, so Curry's out for like 3 months because he got his hand sat on.
He should sit the whole year.
He's not going.
Without question.
He's not gonna. So, yeah, so Curry's been added to the madness for a while.
Draymond?
Draymond's back.
He's back, okay.
He's back. D'Lo is out with a sprained ankle. He's back. He's actually looking quite good. However, I think Jacob Evans was hurt.
Who is the next best player on the Warriors currently healthy?
Oh, yeah. So Draymond Looney is still out due to a neuropathic condition. So that's mm-hmm. good. That's awesome.
Normal.
It's great.
That's one healthy. Of the best positions to have.
Allen, Joe, I'm a let you say because I know you love saying it.
Smilagic?
Yes.
He's on the team? He's playing?
He's not playing. I think he's still out.
Okay. Play the boy. Play him.
Because he's hurt still.
Ugh. So.
He's been sitting on the bench, all, you know, in a nice suit. Next to Kevon. Who else got hurt? Mari Spellman got hurt. Couple games ago,
he pivoted too many times and rolled an ankle, or
he
what?
Rolled his whole ass hip. So that's a thing.
Rolled a hip. Okay.
No, it's like a contusion.
Okay, all right.
I'm missing someone else.
Damian Lee.
Damian Lee just broke his hand. Also, okay. Damian Lee has not been great. I think Damian Lee.
Before we started recording, what did you call him, Will? A replacement player?
Oh, he in the stat value over replacement player, he is the replacement player.
Yeah, okay. So
Damian Lee.
That's where we're at.
I like him, but I feel like he is like. Shows what the Warriors' biggest weakness is as a team, also. It's that this team can't make layups. They just can't make layups. I don't know what it is, but they're missing open layups all the time. They just can't. They'll shoot the three, they'll dunk it. Layups not happening. They try it. They try it a lot. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't work.
If I were on the Warriors, I would simply make those layups.
And then break your hand.
Yes.
Just shatter every bone from elbow to fingertip. Just explode as I attempt a layup.
So, yeah, they've been playing. They've been having, like, 8-man and 9-man roster games. So that's always good. So, yeah.
As a Warriors fan, are you getting any sort of, like, kickback from any fans? Or do you notice any that are, like, it's about time the Warriors stink. They've been good for too long. Like dynasty's over, etc.
From general fans or just like
sure.
Warrior
I don't
fans?
Know. Do you see any of that out there?
I mean, Twitter, yeah, a lot of people. But that's like, I mean, everyone wanted. Well, a lot of people online wanted this in a way. You know what I mean?
It's the type of people that are like, I'm just sick of the Warriors winning all the time, and they've been winning for like 5 years, and to them, it's like. Finally, someone else can win the title or whatever.
It's the same people posting pictures line. Of, like, Thanos snapping his fingers. All balance is restored. Thank you. Shut up. People are dying. This team is dying.
I did see someone say, like, with them sucking out, like, lol, weakest dynasty of all time. It was like, they won 3 titles in 5 years. Where were you?
You don't want them to be good. You don't want them to be bad. What do you want? What do you want?
They were complaining that the league was literally unfair, and other NBA players were complaining that they cheated. They were so good. I think that got overlooked. Pat Beverly, a week ago, claimed that the Warriors cheated, and it never was clear what he meant outside of signing Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I don't know.
And now he's on the team that signed two of arguably the top 10 players in the league right now.
He said to the media, the Warriors cheated, and never clarified what that possibly could have meant outside of they were too good at basketball. I would also like to shout out Steph Curry for, I don't know if we mentioned on here, but when Pat Bev said that you had the last 5 years, I got the next five. Steph Curry reminding him that he's already 31 years old.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the next five of anything.
That's so good.
And then,
yeah, I think with all this Clippers mainstream kind of love that's coming, if it's not already there, like the casual NBA fan, you know, the Heat fan from 2010 to 2014 and the Warriors fan from 2015 to 2018, like, is going to be a Clippers fan now. And
I see the
torn feelings between Pat Beverly that the fans will feel is going to be interesting.
I love the Warriors. I fucking love Pat Beverly.
Oh, I love him too.
He's one of my favorite players. He's awesome and terrifying.
Love the play on Westbrook that injured Westbrook. I did not love that.
Did not like that either.
But in general, I enjoy him. But I think a lot of casual NBA fans are going to be like, this dude is annoying.
Also, he was very quick to shout out Curry when he heard he got hurt and said, like, that's his bro since day one.
I got two things here. One, I can see it, but as much as I would like if the bandwagon fans flock to the Clippers, I think there's no way the bandwagon fans can resist LeBron James and Anthony Davis both on the Lakers.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they'll probably end up there, especially the Lakers appear to be quite good. And then the other is a little live analysis for you guys, if you can handle it.
Okay.
I've turned on Clippers versus Rockets, and it's very spot on that we're talking about Pat Beverly right now, because him and James Harden deserve to be locked in a room with each other for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
They do the exact same thing as each other, just one of them on offense and one on defense. And it's incredible. It is both the funniest, most annoying, and best bunch of bullshit I've ever seen in my life. And they just constantly flop off each other and tangle up with one another. And they deserve each other. I've never seen two players more perfectly mirroring one another.
It's a ballet. The basketball with those two is a waltz and a ballet put together.
It's incredible to me watching this, how many people hate James Harden and how many people love Pat Beverly, because they are the same person. Like, personality differences, yeah, but wow. They're the exact same person on the court.
I mean, my dislike is all personality-wise, mostly, at least.
But no one's basing it off of James Harden's actual personality. They're basing it off what he does on the court, and then they assume his personality. They're like, he flops. Man, have I got some news for you about Pat Beverly.
Oh, hold on. So, speaking of Harden, you guys see the study that was done about the correlation between Harden's, like, player efficiency and field goal percentage, along with top-rated strip clubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, man, that was great.
Where
I saw the guy on Reddit, and in his comments, he was like, this was the better part of my work week. I was like, you're doing the Lord's work, man.
So, for those who didn't see, the study was pretty much looking into... it was pretty much... that the higher rated, like the city with the higher rated strip club, also shows that James Harden is less likely to play well in.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Miami had the top strip clubs and Toronto had the worst, according to what, Yelp or something. I forget what site he used, but yeah. So he like took out Houston, cause those are home games obviously. And he took out, I think he combined either, he combined some city either, I think, both LA teams, he combined into one city, obviously. And then but he kept Brooklyn and the Knicks separate for this purpose. But yeah, it was like a clear correlation, like up to a 20% like decrease from top to bottom. It's great.
We need more of these. Do these for every player. I want to see who plays best.
Yeah.
Who is going, like, who's going to the strip clubs the least? He's like, wow, this player is better in Miami than everywhere else. He's okay. Avoiding the strip
clubs. So which player is going
to the
least?
Or maybe he's going to the strip clubs and playing better.
But he's going responsibly.
Right.
Which player doesn't drink at the strip clubs?
He goes as for, like, motivation.
Yeah. It's like he wants to be as locked in and focused as possible to see that booty clap.
Oh, boy. All right, on to the next.
Wait, I'm sorry, I got one. I know who goes to the strip clubs the least.
Okay.
It's Kyle Lowry because he can't see anything better than what he's already got at home.
There it is. Oh, we're back.
Took me a while to warm up, folks, but I'm here.
That week off really slowed us down.
It really is like 20 degrees here. It's quite cold.
20? You lucky, lucky dog. It was 8 like when I woke up this morning.
Our Midwest correspondent has some thoughts on the matter.
It was 50.
I mean, I'm practically in the South now. I used to be in the North. But anyway. I digress.
Let's talk a little geography.
No. Not again.
This is our recurring bit where we try to recall how many hospitals are in a given geographic area. Based on a, what was it, fifth grade. Research project?
Word to Mr. Sayers. What else we got? We got there's been some pretty serious beef since we last talked.
Oh yeah. Okay. Let's
beef. They're still talking beef. Kyle Lowry.
Oh, there we go.
Serious beef.
We're talking Steven Adams commercials.
Oh, we're always talking about those.
Slamming steaks.
Mate, I eat beef.
Everyone's favorite team to not watch, the Timberwolves.
Yes.
They're amazing, and this is absolutely true and unironically amazing, center cat in the little scuffle with Joel Embiid.
Apparently, so these two used to be friends.
Did they?
And that is apparently all the way gone now. As everyone said, it looked pretty fitting. It looked a lot like Kat was the bullied kid who had finally had enough and lashed out.
You know,
Embiid was the guy who was all talk and had nothing to back it up with actual physical fighting ability.
Yeah, I think we could all agree it was just about the worst fight of all time.
I think so, yes. Yes, absolutely.
The only...
And it didn't stop Joel Embiid from flexing and hyping up the crowd on his way through the tunnel.
Like, all they did was, like... hug fiercely.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid fell down. Kat fell on top of them, and then the only person involved who could actually fight, Ben Simmons, came in and choked Kat out.
Yes. He choked Kat out.
He was doing it peacefully.
Wait, yeah, he choked Kat out, and then both teams were like, yeah, that's fine. He was actually good for that.
He was the peacemaker. Do we remember what the exact language was that Shams used when he was... digression. I know that all the good NBA. I'm on my way. That's why I'm doing poorly talking. but I know that all the NBA reporters. The way they get their info is just by like sucking up to members of the league and saying information that they want them to.
Right.
I get it. I know that's how it works. But Shams has become so shameless and just like basically copy and pasting. What people tell him to, it's become rather hilarious. There's been so many pieces of information recently where it's clear that he's been asked by one of the parties involved to say something they want him to, and this was no change. No, when...
Okay, I think I have the tweet that you're referring to.
Yeah, I just got it, where it's talking about Simmons, and he goes, after they decided that Simmons would not be punished, he tweeted out on clear behalf of the 76ers and Ben Simmons, "All parties viewed Simmons as a peacemaker in scuffle. Simmons was seen on top of Towns, calming him down with his arms."
I'm just calming you down, bro.
I'm just calming you down, bro. Just go to sleep. I'm calming you down. I'm calming you down.
Had his arms around his neck, choking him out in a pretty decent form, and calming him down with his arms. To be fair, there is no better way of calming someone down than making sure they cannot breathe anymore.
My favorite part of MMA fights is the calming down.
I love how calm guys get when they go unconscious.
WWE, when they're all calming each other down. I love to see it.
So that was the only remotely impressive physical display the entire time. But yeah, they talked some real shit after the fight. They both said some wild things, and Embiid did his thing of trying to cross a few lines. I still think the best thing we got out of that was the NBA, I believe his official title is like NBA culture reporter, who thought that when Embiid said no cap using the emoji, that he was calling Carl no hat boy.
That was awesome.
That was a seminal moment in the discourse, I think.
Here's what I got out of this whole thing. Obviously, the fight sucked ass.
Yep.
It was bad. It was disappointing. It's, I don't know. That's the thing. That was just garbage. I'm not saying I want people to fight, but if you're gonna, come on, you know? But then the post-fight thing, right? All the posts online, where it very much seemed like Joel is, like, starting more shit. So Kat responds, and then Joel can't handle that. And, like, keeps talking more. If you don't want him to respond, why are you talking shit? What the fuck are you doing? Calm down.
Also, what?
Like, it was not, I don't know, it's just weird. It just came across like someone who wants to start shit and then can't handle when people are down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, just like Shaq, he's not good at being made fun of.
Right.
He can only handle it one way. But also, I don't feel like it's quite the slant. Like, it's a good insult, but I don't feel like he should get to take that much credit for Jimmy Butler fucking Kat's girlfriend.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I know what Jimmy Butler did. Yeah. You didn't do it.
I know things. Like, what? Okay. All right.
First of all, I know what Jimmy Butler did. Second of all, like, if Kat tried to get into it with Jimmy Butler, then Jimmy Butler could destroy him with that. I don't, like, it's not that killer coming from some random third guy.
Here's what needs to happen. They both need to learn how to fight. Joel Embiid, if he wants to be like this, needs to take some lessons from Kevin Garnett. Because it sounds like he's very much trying to be Kevin Garnett.
No, because in this case, he was in a fight with someone that was his size, and that never happened to Kevin Garnett in his entire career.
Okay. But I mean, like, not just fighting, but just talking shit. I mean, just talking shit.
He wants to fight point guards. He should hook up with Kevin Garnett.
If he wants to, like, Kevin Garnett with the famous, "Your wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios." Joel Embiid with the famous, "I heard someone else say that someone else said that someone else said your girlfriend tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios."
Do you think that Joel Embiid was like sitting in the locker room like, "I can't believe he tried to start shit with me. That's so pathetic. His girl's been cheating on him and he thinks he can talk"? And you think Ben Simmons was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, it's not that bad. If, come on, man. Like, girls cheat on people sometimes. That's the way it is.
This is basketball, man."
Let's not make fun of everybody whose girl is stepping out on.
I will calm you down with my arms.
Yeah. I also love that in this, like, week after it happened, these two going at it, story of the league, that in back-to-back games, Nikola Jokic hit game winners over both of them.
And he didn't talk shit. He didn't say anything, right?
He just lumbered down the court, weighing 400 pounds.
Very slowly winning games.
Yeah, just lumbered around and flipped up a ball, went in.
You know, you do what you got to do. Nikola Jokic is good.
He sure is.
I'm not sure if we're ready for that level of take on this podcast.
No, we're not.
Slow down.
Oh. We're not. Did we cover Andrew Wiggins already? Did we talk about that?
We haven't.
Let's talk about Andrew Wiggins since we're on the Wolves. And just Andrew to be Wiggins clear, just to might be clear that we are true basketball fans in general and very unbiased. Like true basketball fans, we don't watch the Timberwolves. Why would we do that?
We sure don't.
No. Anyways.
Our Andrew Wiggins news is that he might be playing good basketball right now.
He might be.
We can't be sure because we haven't seen. But based off of rudimentary checks to the box score, as Joe said, he has had more than two combined assists and rebounds in multiple games.
It's
incredible stuff. Such development.
He's dropping stat lines that are like 26, 7, and 5 instead of like 26, 0, and 1.
Check this out. Currently averaging in these, 10 games or so?
Oh, yeah.
25.5 points, 4.8 rebounds, 3.3 assists. That shouldn't be such a big deal. But that's improvement.
Much like Andrew Wiggins himself, that shouldn't be such a big deal. In every way, because when you look at his contract, that should not be such a big deal.
Oh, boy.
But he might be playing decent basketball, folks. If anyone tunes in to watch the Timberwolves, please let us know.
Yes, yes.
We're not going to have you on the show because we won't associate with someone who watches the Minnesota Timberwolves, but we would love to know if Andrew Wiggins is playing good basketball.
He did have a single 40-point game the other day.
Very nice.
So, you know, that's where the money goes.
I have also heard through the grapevine that he's gotten a haircut not too long ago, and that this might be a factor in the improved play.
You know, it's the little things.
See, the problem with that, though, is that's just another thing that we have no way of confirming.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's a shame. Well, life goes on.
And that's Wiggins news.
Well, hold on just a moment. Because our retro take for the day will delve into this very man, Andrew Wiggins. The retro take is a take that comes to us from long ago, from days, months, years past, asserting a take, a hot take, about the state of the NBA in the past. And ours today comes from Yahoo Answers, from a man or boy named Jacob. Thank you, Jacob, for asking this question 5 years ago. He asks, do you think that Andrew Wiggins will start over Dion Waiters?
Oh, boy.
Now, okay. So I believe this question was asked before after the Cavs won the lottery. After it was confirmed that Wiggins would be the first overall pick, but before he was officially traded for Kevin Love.
Okay.
Pre-draft. Just for clarification. So, he goes on. I think Wiggins will start because I think he will be a great defender right out of the gate. And the Cavs will only have a few capable defenders. Wiggins, Varejao, LeBron. I know his offense will take a little while to develop, but with his length and athleticism, he can maybe not this year, but next year, be an elite defender. That is the full question. And there are a few answers I want to delve into, but I want to get your, you fellas, your reaction to that question.
I'm going to, answering this today, 5 years later, I'm going to also say, maybe next year.
Maybe next year you'll be an elite defender.
I mean, that really actually threw me off for a second because I forgot literally until you read that. But that was like the pretty consensus take on him coming out was no matter what, he'll be really good at defense. Mm-hmm. That was like the he has a good floor because look at him. Like with his tools, he'll be good at defense no matter what. I remember that being a very common take around draft time. And I mean, I was all in hook, line, and sinker. I bought it. No one thought to warn me that he didn't give a shit.
So we've got a few answers here. The best answer, as chosen by the asker, says, I think they end up trading Wiggins. But if they don't, I'd start Waiters until Wiggins proves he's ready. Wiggins can't hit a shot yet. Therefore, Wiggins would be better on the floor with LeBron. But with LeBron, you could really play all three, because LeBron could play power forward or point guard during stretches of the game. I assume he means power forward, point guard, and everything in between, not just those two positions. But right. That would be pretty interesting. It's kind of like the Ben Simmons 2K player. He's listed as a power forward and point guard is his second position, or vice versa. So pretty normal response there, mm-hmm. I would say. Makes sense. Nothing too crazy.
Artie disagrees.
Artie, please tell us what you think.
Okay.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Facts.
Let's get another opinion in here, Artie. Here, this is from Answerer, Lakers for a three-peat. That's his answerer name. And his response is, the question isn't whether it will be Waiters or Wiggins in the starting lineup. The question is whether it will be Tristan Thompson or Wiggins in the starting lineup. I don't think the Cavs will throw out a starting lineup with LeBron at small forward, Wiggins at shooting guard, and Irving at point guard. Unless Wiggins shows up with a good three-point shot, which is possible. He did improve as a shooter in his 1 year at Kansas. The Cavs need outside shooting, which Waiters offers over Wiggins. The Cavs could start a lineup with LeBron at power forward, Wiggins at small forward, and Waiters at shooting guard. I think that is very likely.
I mean, we still don't know if he's a good shooter.
Maybe next year.
I mean, also, him versus Dion, I don't think there's any winning there.
Yeah. I was actually really hoping right when it started that the question was going to be, should he start over Dion Waiters in the All-Star game? But honestly, yeah, like we can bust on Wiggins all you want, but he probably should start over Dion Waiters.
Yeah.
One final answer here just says, to me, if you draft a player number two overall, you're starting them. Now, if they trade him, then obviously Waiters starts unless he's included in the Kevin Love deal. Now, this answer is saying that Jabari Parker should start for the Cavaliers, I think. Is that what he's saying? If you draft a player number two overall, you're starting them. Maybe he's speaking for the Bucks in this draft? I don't know. He's confused at what pick the Cavs actually have.
Do you think he's right, though?
I don't think he's right, no. I don't think every top two draft pick needs to be started immediately. I mean, the team is probably not great, so they probably need him to start. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're like the Pistons in that draft, in the, was it 03? the draft with LeBron and Carmelo and all those guys, they took Milicic, who they were not planning on starting, I don't think. He was more of a project because they could afford to, because they had like just won the finals or were about to win the finals the next year. Mm. So they were a really good team that got a good trade. Like it was like the last team to get like an unprotected pick like that ever, I think.
I would love.
People saw what happened with that and were like, oh, we should protect these things.
I would love so much if they would, if they had said that, like in their statement, we can afford to draft this guy and wait a little bit because we're going to win the title next year.
That'd be big baller moves.
So in the sidebar here, this is that was the retro take, but in the sidebar of the questions, I guess there's a couple categories. There's trending questions. Apparently people are still asking questions on Yahoo Answers. And then there are ones that have yet to have an answer. It just says answer questions. And this was the top one from Stavros, asked one day ago. I am 14 years old. I am 5'8", 126 pounds, and I can leg press around 360. I have just started vertical jump exercises. Any suggestions? I have a 28.5 vertical, and I am trying to dunk. What exercises do I need to do? And also, what are the main muscles targeted when jumping? No answers yet,
so
fellas.
The question
is, can we help
is,
out Stavros?
Well, the answer to this is, I think he should start over Dion.
Okay. Sure.
He's trying.
Adam Silver, we're going to need you to lift those eligibility rules
quick
for Stavros. But hey, 28.5 vertical, 5'8", 126.
Okay.
Ooh.
Bring something
can
different
leg
to
press
the league.
360. Is that good? Honest question, is that good?
That seems good for being 120 pounds.
Does seem good. It's three times his weight, almost.
He could stand up three times.
Now that's epic.
That's incredible.
Who among us can do that? Who can say this? Who can honestly say that they can stand up three times? Sometimes I stand up one time, and I'm like, nah. I don't need to do that again for a while.
I haven't stood up since we started this episode.
Same.
Okay, 3 for 3. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good flex, Stavros. We see you.
You got us.
Sorry, but
so any suggestions?
Man.
Vertical jump exercise. We're thinking just standing up. That's the first start.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, if you want to do that multiple times, you're gonna have to sit back down.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So work that in as well. Kind of superset sitting and standing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would make a lot of sense.
I'm not. Okay. I don't know what to recommend here. So, my vertical is not that high.
One more piece of just live analysis, folks. I'm still on this Houston Clippers game.
Okay.
And James Harden seems like he stinks.
Okay.
I'm going to check his stats because
let's get a quick vibe check on
vibe
James
check
Harden.
On James Harden.
The vibe is ass.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Sometimes
we're
going to
check his stats. You're right. I don't know. They look good. He's 9 for 17 for 28 points.
Okay.
5 of 8 from 3, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. But
Clint Capella has 16 rebounds.
I straight up did not know that Russell Westbrook was playing in this game. And he's on the court right now.
Uh-oh. Capella with 16 rebounds with 7 minutes left in the game is something.
7 minutes left in the third quarter.
I mean, in
actually.
The third, my bad. Yes. We got any other news? It's not been too crazy of a last week.
few kind of key injuries for some big teams. Chris Middleton's out for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. We mentioned De'Aaron Fox is out for a little while. There's a few other. I mean, obviously the entire Warriors best seven players
we
are out.
We don't need to talk about that anymore.
Yeah, so couple injuries. I'm interested to see who kind of fills in for Middleton because Wes Matthews has been sort of inconsistent so far this year.
It looks like Oladipo might be back soon. They got him doing
he's G League, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got him doing a practice.
Very nice. And then, love to see it.
What do we think about son of the show? John Collins suspended.
Ah, yes.
For tested positive for a diuretic, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
The man just has to pee.
You know,
what can you do about that?
You know,
who can relate?
Yeah, who am I to judge? That's all I have to say. I think it's too bad that he can't
tough
play
for
25 games. But
Trey's been going off this year. I think I don't think it'll hurt the Hawks' chances too much.
Mm-hmm.
Trey set the world on fire last night.
Yeah, he's been crazy good.
And I get one
career renaissance. I would even say.
One surprise. Speaking of career renaissance, one surprising development 10 games in. Not only is Andrew Wiggins maybe playing well. Part of the reason they're doing okay without Johns Collins is that Jabari Parker is playing so well.
True.
When healthy, Jabari Parker is good. That is my take.
I think
we've mentioned before.
Good, but I think he's still in the timeout zone.
I definitely still don't think he's playing defense, but there's nothing different than John Collins on that route.
Mm-hmm.
His life's nice and easy because playing with Trae Young makes your life easy on the offensive end. But he's taking good advantage of it, it seems like. He was key in that win over the Nuggets.
He's averaging 17.8 points per game.
And doing it efficiently, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm. Looking pretty shooting 55%.
How's DeAndre Carter or DeAndre Hunter? How's he doing?
I guess the big takeaway from the I've watched a couple Hawks games this year, and I watched the first one of the year. And my big DeAndre Hunter take is, regardless what the stats look like any given night, and sometimes they look okay, but regardless of what they look like, he looks like he belongs. He looks comfortable out there. He doesn't look too rushed or anything like that. He plays like he's calm, and so I'm pretty confident in him. I think he's going to be real good. Cam Reddish, on the other hand, plays like everything's moving way too fast and like he doesn't belong at all, so we'll see how that goes.
Didn't know we had a 1991 baseball scout in the house. Just looks good out there. Just has a real feel for the game. No.
I mean, to be fair, all I ever thought about is if NBA players look good or not. So
true.
You would be the expert. That's accurate. Yep.
DeAndre Hunter's a real old rookie. I don't feel bad. He's like 23.
Oof.
Talk about his ass.
Boomer. Ooh.
Every time he makes a shot. Okay, boomer. I say that every time LeBron scores a bucket.
I will be on a personal note, I will be attending the Bucks Pacers game on Saturday.
Okay.
Ooh, rooting for your hometown.
Had a coworker give me tickets, two tickets, back row of the lower level.
Ooh.
So
we're gonna
be sitting pretty. I'm excited for that. I'm gonna pull the old I'm gonna pull my Pacers starter jacket out of mothballs that I have in the closet.
Okay.
Wear that over a Giannis jersey. So
okay.
Kinda pull in for both squads a little bit, but obviously the Bucks take priority.
Sometimes you just want everyone to have fun.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Well, before we go, I do have one last piece of news that stood out to me a couple weeks ago. This is about the Spurs. Specifically, Derek White. The Spurs have been, this is a report from the San Antonio Express News, about the Spurs seek to bolster White's confidence. So their goal with him, their issue with him is that he wants to please the coaches too much.
Classic Spurs
so
problem.
So Popovich has been telling him, or Popovich said that, we try at times to get him to be like, don't listen to me, tell me to go to hell, just do whatever you want to do out there, be a little more like Manu.
Ooh, be like Manu.
And I love this idea of him being like Manu, and I also really like the idea of Popovich telling players not to listen to him.
Spurs are just a bunch of good boys.
Mm-hmm. Turns out they can be too good of boys.
Such is life.
Well, should we hit him with the with the thinker?
I think so.
After we
think so.
After we tell him to hit up our Twitter page at a full court mess. Where you can send us hot takes, tweets.
Send them to us.
Pictures of your dog. I don't know. Anything. Here is a somehow irrelevant take after some irrelevant news this week. Or irrelevant to basketball for the most part, except for this tweet. This is from Oh, It's Teddy. Drake is the worst thing to happen to basketball since the pump fake rule. Can we agree on this? Or no?
Much to what think about.
Is the pump fake rule?
I don't
is
know.
Is that the Reggie Miller, like, pump fake, like, draw foul, the Sam Cassell classic? Is that, that's what I would think is the pump fake rule.
I thought they legit mean just, like, that someone invented a pump fake. I was like, I had no idea
that's,
that was
That's going way back.
Like, someone faked a shot one time, and that's deceitful.
I mean, but you can do that, though, so.
Yeah, well, because the rule says you can.
Okay. Either way.
Yep.
I agree.
Hard agree.
And that's that. And if you don't agree, get out.
Or hit our line at the full court mess.
Yes. And also know that we love you.
Thank you very much.